Well, good morning. For those of you that have been to the camp, you know exactly what the song is about. We've been talking about Christ in the center of our lives. And there's nothing else matters until you let Christ to be who he is in your heart. Let me read you a scripture. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This is Apostle Paul speaking to Corinthians. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. You see, for those of you that haven't been to the camp, I'll just briefly summarize how we talked about the most important things for you. Most of the turmoil in a Christian life happens because you're fighting what God wants for your life. I'm not saying that if you follow God that everything will be rosy-cozy. I mean, that everything will be, you know, without problems. But the inner turmoil, you see, there's a difference between having a storm in your life and Jesus is standing there, but you have such a peace in your life, you're going like, Jesus, can I walk on water? It looks cool. I mean, you're there. Can I walk on water? You see, that's when you know Christ is right there with you. There's nothing to be afraid of. The waves could be, you know, the storm is there. Waves are huge. And things are going, you know, crazy everywhere. You're like, let's have some fun. Let's walk on water. It's a completely different thing when you see people that have everything made on the outside. But if you would have a chance to look on the inside, there's a big storm raging. Some of you are like that. You know, you found a way to pretend to play this Christian thing. And I'm not saying that you don't know who Jesus is. And I'm not saying that you've never experienced anything, you know, from God at all. But inside you're fighting. Inside you're struggling. You don't want to surrender. You don't want to submit. You don't want to let God be really God in your life. Somewhere, somehow, it's like a house. And many times this is what happens to us. We house is on fire. And we're like, Jesus, if you really exist, please help us. You know, 911, somebody help. You know, and Jesus comes with his red truck and he pours the water of the Holy Spirit on this whole thing. So, you know, and he saves your house. He saves your life. And you're so like, Jesus, thank you so much. You know, now you can come in. Come on here, Jesus. You open the door, let him in there and say, okay. And then you look around and say, oops. Okay, Jesus, here's the deal now. You saved my house. Thank you very much. And I really like you. I mean, you look like a great guy. And I really thought because you saved the house, I should give it to you. But is this area enough for you? I mean, please, Jesus is not a dog. So you just give him, you know, a little place here. So just you sleep here. And the rest of the house is mine. And if I have a problem, you know, if something happens, I run to you. I wake you up. You know, you help me. And then you go back to your corner. Now, of course, I'm not saying that you're saying like that. I'm not even pretending that it's really happening. Just see the picture. What is really going on in your life? Now, Jesus is light. And you have all these rooms. And you know, some of you, you know, you go to camp and are like, you know what? And Jesus goes like, I'm a lord of your life. So if there's any other place of your house should make, you know, clean. Because the house is outside is good now. You know, we saved it from the fire. But inside is a mess. So you're like, okay, Jesus, let's try to do kitchen. You know, you turn on the light and roaches run everywhere. When I lost my first wife in a car accident, I end up without a job and without a wife, a single father in the middle of nowhere, literally in the middle of nowhere, Town Bluff, Texas. You can't even find it on the map. I mean, you can Google it right now. We have a smartphone. Town Bluff is not going to come up. 87 and a half people. I don't know why half. It's just the only traffic we had is when the cows go through the street, you know, and there's it's just one of those towns you pray that you never end up. And that just so happened I end up in the city because on the intersection with the highway, that's where the car wreck happened. And there was some people just took us in. And, you know, we lived with them for a month, and then, you know, another month, and I decided, you know, we need to live by ourselves. So I bought, for $2,000, I bought a mobile home that was older than me. And, you know, they brought it up, they put it on a piece of land that somebody gave me. And I still remember, I opened the door and roaches everywhere. I mean, there was 50,000 roaches. Roach City, USA, I kid you not. I mean, there were so many of them. And in Texas, they're huge. I mean, you can hear them. When they run on the floor, you know, I mean, it is... I was so scared of them, I throw half a box of cereal to the kitchen. You know, close all the doors, you come in the morning, it's empty. I mean, just stay over there. My mother-in-law was helping me with kids at the time. And the whole mobile home was made as this, you know, it's like a wooden thing. It's like something put on the floor, they put on the walls. I don't know why, you know. And it's, of course, there's the dark dots here and there. She couldn't sleep. She always slept like this, you know. Because she thought it's roaches on the wall. I mean, it was horrible. Sometimes that's how you feel. You know, Jesus, I don't want you to go there. Trust me, Jesus, you don't want to see it. Yeah. Have you ever felt like that? I felt like that many times. I mean, Jesus, I know you're a great guy. I love you. You're awesome. But there's some parts of my life even you don't want to see. And the thing is that unless you let the light of Christ to walk in there, there's nothing you're going to do that will help. We talked about purpose. I mean, right now there's I don't know if you care about that. I do, because when I was growing up, Arnold Schwarzenegger was my idol. You know, I mean, and as an immigrant, I always respected him. You know, it's a great story of a guy who comes from nowhere, doesn't speak English, has a weird name, weird accent. I mean, just a weird profession. At that time when he came, bodybuilding was, you know, people looked at like freaks. You know, what a freak show is that? Go to circus or something, you know. But he had this big dream to come to U.S. and become a movie star. I mean, we're talking about movie star and fame. You know, that was his dream. And he did it. As an immigrant for me, I'm like, whoa, you know, come from nothing to become a governor of California and a movie star and all these other things. You know, to be a governor of California is like being president of most of countries in the world. Did you know that? Ninth largest economy in the world. He doesn't need to be a president of the United States. He already, like I said, it's a huge, huge success on one side. But look what stuff he was hiding in a closet. I mean, let me tell you something. It's just stuff that finally came out of the closet. He probably forgot to lock the door one day, and the things just start crawling out. He's like, shut the door, you know. But somebody got out. Now there's a kid that was already 13 years old. I mean, I don't want to know what else he has done, you know. And this is exactly how many of you will happen to you if you don't deal with right now as you're young. Guess what? The thing that happened to him now didn't start 5 days ago, didn't start 10 years ago. I mean, it started 50 years ago. Somewhere, I don't know how it happened in his life. My guess would be like most of the guys. You know, somewhere he saw a Playboy magazine. Now it's probably internet. You know, he started seeing stuff and he started thinking stuff and he started imagining things. And, you know, and he developed that kind of attitude towards this era of his life. And right now, I mean, he probably ruined most of his career. He's as a politician, he's not good, I would say. I don't know how about movies. I know women will not go watch his movies. I don't know about guys, but women say, who needs this kind of guy? What kind of hero is that? 50 years ago, he allowed this little thing, and it was little, probably really tiny bead, you know? And now it's a big monster he can't control. We talked about your purpose. Guess what? if you want to, your purpose to come to fruition, if you want it to come to pass, you need to figure out all these things. You need to let Jesus come in, and you go and you turn the light in every single room. You said, Jesus, this is yours, and this is yours, and this is yours, and you're going to be crying. You'll be cringing. It will be painful. It will be disgusting. You'll be disgusted with yourself. It's not a fun experience, but it must be done. If I don't tell you that, after all we said through the weekend, if I don't tell you, you have to, boldly run to Jesus and let the freedom of God deliver you from all these things now. Put it under dominion of Christ. It's going to ruin your life. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not even 10 years from now. Maybe not even 20 years from now. But 30, 40 years maybe. Maybe for some of you soon. We can see David testified. I think it's God's mercy that he stopped you right now. Before you became professional criminal. But for some, it happens like that. And we need to surrender to Christ. Listen to what Paul is saying. That I'm here to preach the gospel, not to baptize. And we talked about yesterday, remember? That there's... The gospel is not the rules. It's not the rules that you have to follow. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Anytime you try to add anything to Jesus, you diminish who Jesus is. There is no Jesus plus theology. We don't believe in that. We believe Jesus Christ alone saves, delivers. That's how we come to Him. That's how we stay with Him. That's how we live. That's how we die. That's how we exist. He is our being. He is our breath. He is everything. There is nothing out there. There's no rules or regulation or things that can be added, because anytime you add anything, you diminish Christ. And that's when Christ, instead of being the Lord of your life and ruling and reigning and moving through you, he becomes small. Like I said, you make him a lap dog and put him in a corner. Some of you make him like a keychain. That's the size of your Jesus. Do you want to see my Jesus? Put it back in the pocket. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You only pull him out when you need him. For some of you, he's the size of a flashcard, even smaller. But why it happened, not because you say, I don't believe in Jesus. Not because you say, I reject Jesus. Not because you say, I'm an atheist. No, you add things. Okay, it's Jesus plus, Jesus plus, Jesus plus, Jesus plus. Every time you add something, Jesus becomes smaller and smaller and smaller in your life. And now your house is dark again. Now your life is dark again. Christ and Christ alone. There is nothing else. It's the cross of Christ. That's all you have to see in your life. It's Jesus that died for you. When you struggle in anything, you need to run to Him. There's no point trying to figure out stuff. It's like, it's like a saying in America, let's pray. Is it that bad? This is not how it is. It's the first thing, no matter what, you run to Him. He's done. He said, it is finished. If you fight with Him, like I said, if you try to figure out stuff, you're only going to hurt in yourself and unfortunately hurt many other people. But if you just turn and run to Him every single time. And like I said, I know sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you have to just crawl to Him. You don't want to do that. Because you think, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. Let's make it clear once and for all. You are not worthy, period. No matter how good you are, let's say you didn't do things, whatever things you've done for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Who cares? You're still not worthy. In the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter. Only Jesus Christ that died for us on the cross. Why did He do that? Did He do that then you try to figure out stuff on your own and try to fix things on your own? Is that was the reason? Why would He die then? If it's possible through psychology or through some kind of things, or some kind of teachings or some kind of, special attitudes or whatever, if it's possible or even to fix anything, why would He die? there would be no reason to die. And he died for us, for our sins. He died for you. Bled on the cross. But not just bled, not just that. He rose from the dead to prove that he's victorious over everything. And he said, I got all the power, all authority. Now take it and go preach the gospel. And that's what the gospel is. The gospel is, need come to our church and we, you know, help you to clean up and feel better and do this and do that. You know, come to our church and we, you know, you can, it's nothing. It's you lead people to Jesus Christ and him alone. That's the only answer to people. Believe me. Trust the gospel. Paul is talking about many times, next chapter he's saying, when I came to you, I did not preach to you in wisdom of words, but Christ and Christ crucified. That's it. Because any time, like I said, you try to add things, you subtract from Jesus. We talked about your purpose, why God has created you and why he put you on this earth. But without him again, I repeat myself, but I want to say it again. Without him, your life is just a broken toy. It's a toy without a battery, and it's never going to work. It's never going to do what really God intended for you to do. I want to go back to also to this next thing, because it was so important. I think it was like a cornerstone also, that Jesus did not meant for you, you know, did not meant for you to pursue to be famous. This is not how it's designed. Now, in the Satan designed that. When you, the more we talked about it, the more I prayed about it, this is his design. He wants you to be puffed up and to be prideful. You see, because the gifts and callings and all the stuff that God gave you, if you try to prostitute that, and that's the only word I can find, prostitute that to get fame, I mean, everything is ruined, everything. It's, the Bible talks about it. It's a big, big bucket of honey. And you put one stinky, dark fly. And it ruins the whole thing. And it's exactly what this pursuit of fame is. You can have a lot going for you. But if you change it, instead of looking to Jesus, to look to anything else, pursue any other goals, but serving him and glorifying him. And we talked about, I hope you understand by now, that you can glorify him in the talent that he gave you. Whatever it is, you do it with all of your heart, but you surrender to him. You know, I'll teach you one little principle, because there's a super spiritual way to treat, and there's a spiritual way to treat it. Super spiritual way to treat praise is, no, it's not me. You know, people tell you that you've done something. You know, you're great at something, and they give you a compliment. And you say, no, it's not me, it's just Jesus. It's only Jesus. Super spiritual, stupid way. Because it really, by doing that, you're begging that they would say more. And they say, no, it's not Jesus, it's you. No, it's, and then you go back and forth. I mean, just, oh, it's just disgusting stuff. And I remember I didn't know how to deal with it, because there were some things really, God started giving me more, and I pursued that to be excellent in certain things, and I started getting more and more praise, and I'm like, how do you deal with it? And I heard one preacher who shared with that, and I took it. He said, when you receive praise, and whatever area it is, just people giving you a compliment, or you got a trophy, or you got an Emmy, or you got whatever, you know, things. Gold medal, a dolphin, not a dolphin, a dove, right? A dolphin, a dove, you know, a statue, whatever thing, you know, a billboard, an advertisement, you know, they show you on TV, newspaper, whatever thing happens. Don't do that. Just don't do that, you know. Just smile, be nice, be humble. Take it all in, go home, close the door, kneel down, and if you have something, put it down, say, Jesus, I bring it all to your feet. Because without you, I couldn't do it. But you see what happens many times, because Christians don't know how to deal with it. Now they are afraid to be successful. Because what are we going to deal, how are we going to deal right now with success? Do I deserve, how does it work? No, put all of yourself into you, whatever God called you, do to the very best of your abilities. I mean, if you can become the best in the whole wide world in your thing, do it. If you can become the best just here in Sioux Falls, do it. If you can become the best just in your school or your college, do it. Go for it. Don't hold back. Most people in the world, they're not afraid of failure. They're afraid of success. That's the true reason why people don't succeed. Not because they're afraid of failure. They're afraid of success. And we, as Christians, we fall in the same thing. We're afraid of success, and plus we're afraid of Jesus, like what he's going to think about us if we're going to get some glory. When it send your ways, praise, recognition, whatever else, because it will happen. If you're great at anything, people will notice that. And the only cure for that is to bring it back to Jesus. Just see him. Because he paid for it all. Guess what? We can take any kind of craft without God giving you whatever you have, your body, your brain, your idea. I mean, all this, without him, nothing will happen anyways. And to summarize again what Pastor Alex said, great phrase. I think we molded it together, right? Work as hard as there is no God. It's a principle. It's not that we're saying there's no God, but work as hard as there is no God. Push everything aside. That doesn't matter. Pay the price. But when it becomes successful, give God the glory like you've done nothing. Like you've done absolute nothing. Give him all the glory because he deserves all the glory, all the praise, and all the adoration. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.